Playing so bloody badly with his electric guitar, and mine just came up and just unplugged it and pulled it out.
So they were a demanding audience. Right?
Subversive Voice. In this episode of Our Subversive Voice, John Street interviews singer and song collector Jake Glanville.
I want to demonstrate something for just before we get started. See if you think this is a protest song.
You're turning the tables on me.
Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When you grow up, you'll work till you drop. When you get married, your wife will work too, so that the rich will have nothing to do. Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When you grow old, your wages will stop. When you have spent the little you saved, first to the poorhouse, then to the grave. Is that a protest?
I think we would say that was a protest song indeed.
All right.
It is a question with which we've wrestled throughout the project as to quite what it...
And
you could argue that that's a song of complaint, but whether it also expects a response from the audience, as it were, to do something about that state of affairs, doesn't seem to have the classic form and its origins.
I don't know. Now, that's something that's one of those songs I've grown... Well, I've known for a very, very long time, you know, since, I suppose, teenage years or before that. Some of my songs I've known since about 5 years old, but I can only recall it that far back. Yeah. But I don't know who wrote it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But it sounds something gave me a bit of thought.
Yeah. Your musical history goes back a very long way.
Yes, it goes back 80 years.
When you were hearing these songs, how did you
encounter
them? I
thought my mother was making them up. I thought I'd never heard that on the radio. I'd never heard that on the BBC Light programme. Where's that come from? You know, but she wasn't making them up. That's what they were.
And how did she know them?
What is incredible, right? Now, my mother was Anglo-Burmese. Her natural language, though, was English. Not Burmese, English. Where did she learn them from? Because she knew a song like Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. She obviously got it out in Burma. My guess is that a lot of them would be songs from the British forces, because there was a very rude version of Harbour Lights. Shine On, Those Harbour Lights Are Shining, that one. I could pick music up very, very quickly. Mm. I know when I was about 3 or 4... she took me to see Coppelia, the ballet Coppelia. Mm. And I came out of that thing and I could remember all the tunes. And then I started to collect songs off my schoolmates and things and schoolgirls, especially the schoolgirls. We were evacuated during the war. Mm. And again, I can remember exactly the song the girls were singing on the bus. Mm. Of course, it was quite a rude song. It was, hey, jigger jig, fuck a little pig, follow the band all the way. Oh, hey, jigger jig, fuck a little pig, follow the band all the day. Me husband's a foreman is he. All day he fucks men about, at night he comes home and fucks me.
And where were you evacuated to? Where
went to Lidford in Devon.
Oh, right. From London?
From near London, yes.
Yeah.
No wonder we saw quite a bit of action.
So when you say you collected these songs, in what sense did
you... Yeah, I started to write them down. I could read and write at 3.
Right.
So it was one of the advantages I had in life. And so I started to write down songs at about 5 years old, and certainly wrote down more songs at 11 years old. Mm. I can remember collecting these songs and writing them down, you know.
Why did you want to collect them?
Yeah, that's a difficult thing to answer. I suspected you might ask something like that. All I can say is that they just had an appeal. Mm. And I wanted to sing them. Obviously wanted to sing them because I did have this ear which would pick songs up and music up extremely well.
Mm. But you were interested in the songs that people sung, as it were, for themselves, rather than what you heard on the radio or what you might have...
Yes, I had a gramophone when I was 5 years old, a whole stack of 78s. Mm-hmm. You couldn't give that to a child of 5 these days, could you? My mum would give me a book when I was reading it. and it said, Negroes and their horrid jazz music. I said, Mum, what does that mean? Where did you get that rubbish on? And she put on Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And of course, you're hooked, weren't you? Yeah. A song like that.
But you did you collect records in the same way you collected songs?
Yes, yeah. I did have a huge collection.
But I'm not sure you've answered my question about why.
No, I think that is a very difficult question to answer. I think I collected them because the songs I thought were extremely attractive to me. I got The Cruel Mother off this same girl that was singing Hey Jigga Jig. The one that goes, there wasn't a woman who lived in the wood, will you, while you, and that's sometimes called, you know, collected that right early because they took her away and she got hung, you know, and we, and that was just a very amusing. So I've done that all my life, actually. Yeah. And I think it's the song has some kind of innate attraction. Yeah.
Must have come a point when you started writing your own songs as well, or did that start from the beginning?
No, that came very late. I used to go to the Singers Club where Ewan McColl and Peggy Seeger and a whole lot held forth in London to Soho Square. For some reason, I always remember the address of where the Singers Club was then. And then they started this thing called the Critics Group. And that they used to hold in their home, but I only went there about once or twice because I didn't like the direction McColl was heading in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. But he wanted us to write a song about the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And this is right early on. This is before most people knew anything about what was really going on in Vietnam.
And you were how old at this stage?
Now, then I'd have been, quite old. Okay. About 1961, 62. Yeah. I wrote this song and McColl didn't think much of it.
He didn't think much of anybody's songs, did he?
I don't know. He was encouraged. He wasn't nasty or anything. Then he wrote some two brilliant songs for that himself. We fell out over the banjo. He didn't like me playing banjo. He's saying we should only play music of our own cultural background. Well, I said, I was born in Penang, Malaya. My father's a Dublin Irishman. My mother's Anglo-Burmese. And I've lived in England from Berwick-on-Tweed to Southend-on-Sea. What do you suggest?
And what would you do at the Critics Group? You would talk about what...
What's a good song? How to sing folk songs, basically, how to do it, how to write folk songs, all that kind of thing.
And you were given this brief to write a song about
Vietnam War, yeah.
How long were you given?
I think it was next week I came back. You know, I think you want a fairly rapid response, you know. Yeah. I think we expected us to have written something by the following week.
The Farmgate Flyer.
You see, Farmgate was the code name for these American Air Force guys operating out in Vietnam illegally undercover, you know, pretending they were just advising the South Vietnamese Air Force. And I wrote a very sarky song about that. And I think I had a chorus line, I don't know, but I've been told in Vietnam nobody gets too old.
And you said that McColl said you had a good turn of phrase.
Yes, he did. He did, and he did say that. I used a lot of technical terms, like lazy dog, which is one of the horrible weapons the Americans used on people, and MACV, which is the military organisation that was doing these things. And some of us knew what was happening all along the line. Yeah. I knew what was happening in Vietnam in 1954, you know, when the French collapsed, you know, so I knew a great deal about it. I wrote just that one song for that time. It wasn't until the miners' strike that I started to write anything of any consequence. I wanted to write good songs, so I only had a go when I was feeling in the mood. So I didn't make a regular habit of it. We were part of a group called Norfolk Solidarity. That's what I called it. They called it Lumpy Trust because their support was uneven. And they did this song by David Dodds.
When you say they, this is the members of the group of the Norfolk
Solidarity. They did this song, quite a few of us. Yeah. It was an ad hoc sort of group. Mm. And two of them did this, they were very fine singers and everything else. They sang this stupid song called Crawling Into Work. Now, how can you sing that to a load of miners on strike? I was embarrassed to the core. I wanted to cut out and die because I thought it was totally inappropriate. So I rewrote it. So David Dodds will be after me for copyright, I don't know. I completely rewrote it and sang it. It's about scabs, you know. Yeah. Oh, you're crawling into work, you scabs, you're crawling into work. But you know someday you'll have to pay for crawling into work. And completely changed the song.
Yeah.
And that sort of kicked things off.
Yeah. Were you singing these songs two miners in the pits or
Ollerton. Ollerton Pits was the pit we were associated with. Yes,
you wrote them here in Norwich or Norfolk.
Yes, I wrote them here. And then transported them over there. Yeah. Yes.
And what was it like to perform in front of these audiences?
I loved it. I thought we're doing something. We can't do much. Mm. But we're doing something. I loved it. Some of the others found it very intimidating. I'm not surprised, because there's some guy, it wasn't one of our lot, but he was another. He was playing so bloody badly with his electric guitar, his mind just came up and just unplugged him and pulled it out.
They were a demanding audience, right?
They were a very nice audience. Yeah. I think, you know, you just didn't want to push your luck too far, but they were a very appreciative audience. Mm. I always got asked to sing Blackleg Minor. I hope that's on your list.
Yes, it is.
I enjoyed singing for them, and they enjoyed me. I know they did, because they were always asking me to come and sing for them at the various things. So I was quite pleased about it. Even though I'm a pretty crap singer and a pretty crap banjo player, but they liked what I did and what I sang.
If you were explaining, or they were explaining, what those songs did for them...
I think they just thought it was great that there was somebody on their side. Mm. There's a guy called Ed Pickford, his name was. He's changed it to Pickford. And he's written the most brilliant mining songs. And I think he's an ex-miner, always from a mining family. And I think his songs are really outstanding. And I hope you've got a lot of them down on your list.
Come all you workers who work night and day, by hand and by brain to earn your pay. For centuries long past, for no more than your bread, how you fought for your country and you cried